You're listening to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. It's Glenn and Fishon for one more day. It's a Friday, and maybe many of us by now could use some type of a getaway. We're going to talk retreats over the course of our next half hour here with Father Keith Clark. He's the director of the Capuchin Retreat Center, Monte Alverno Retreat and Spirituality Center in Appleton. And we're going to talk about some of the benefits of a retreat. And Relevant Radio folks were on one for a couple days last week, and that was a great thing as well. Welcome, Father. How are you today?
I'm pretty well, thanks.
All right. And we appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. We're talking about the power of a retreat, and much more than just a couple days away. There are many reasons that a retreat can be a good thing. How long have you been involved with the retreat center there?
Let's see, I'm in my seventh year.
And is that something that you pictured you'd be doing way back when, or is something you kind of gravitated toward?
Well, it was something that I always listed as an area of interest, but didn't actually accomplish that interest until about 7 years ago.
Now, maybe as a young person, did you have positive experiences away at retreats or summer camps or things like that?
Well, I went to St. Lawrence Seminary, and they always had an annual retreat for the whole student body right there on campus. And I do remember several of them as being very good experiences. I don't know that that influenced my willingness or enthusiasm for my current position, excuse me, but I never had a bad retreat experience.
How many different folks will you see come through the retreat center over the course of a year?
Oh, I wish I had an answer for that, but it's probably about 15,000.
Wow.
No, 1,500, I'm sorry. 1,500.
Well, that's still a wow. And now, is this a summertime setting, or do you do things year-round there?
Oh, no, it's year-round.
Okay.
We run our own theme retreat, we call it, weekends during the year and a couple midweeks. And then we have other activities like Lenten activities, Advent activities, evenings for men, evenings for women. So it's not just preached retreats, but that's sort of our staple.
And how have you seen things grow over time in the 7 years you've been there?
Well, actually, I've seen a decline in the number of people who come for a preached theme retreat. What I have seen grow, much to my surprise, I think, is the number of people who come here just for the quiet. They don't come for a program, but they'll come for a day or 2 days as individuals or sometimes as small groups, and all they want is the quiet.
I've known some very unquiet people really enjoy the quiet retreats. What's that like for someone for the very first time to be involved in a silent retreat?
Well, it's scary. All of our recruiters and promoters tell us that it's hard to convince somebody to come for the first time because they say, I could never keep my mouth shut for a whole weekend. And yet, it's almost universal that at the end of their first experience, they'll say, well, you know, the quiet was the best part of it. So quiet seems to me to have become a marketable commodity in this modern world.
What are some tips you might have for those who are looking at one of those types of retreats and wondering how to be quiet?
Well, it's actually very easy to be quiet once you get here because everybody around you is being quiet. Now, you know, they communicate with, you know, gestures and eye contact, but since everybody is sort of involved in this being still, there's a real support system for that.
And I imagine it gets, at first, you know, you kind of got to get used to that. But then after maybe just a few hours, you're in the groove a little bit to be able to, you know, participate in some of the shared activities without speaking. And then the real meat of it comes when you get to be with yourself without that public voice.
That's right. Being alone and quiet long enough allows people to be available to be touched and moved by God. And I see that, well, we see that here all the time.
Our guest on this half hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio is Father Keith Clark, talking about retreats and the power of a retreat in a silent retreat. Listening for that still small voice is something that gets harder and harder to do in our modern culture when it's easier to be plugged in all the time. Now with these fantastic magical mobile devices we have, we never have to be apart. Not only, you know, from someone who wants to ring us up and using the old-fashioned telephone mode of those things, but always access to email and Facebook and Twitter, to the point some are addicted to such activity, and I imagine just putting that away gets to be kind of a challenge.
It can for some. I always have to tell them opening night, well, now you have to understand our retreat center, the old wing was built in 1935, and that's before cell phones. So if you are inclined to use a cell phone in your room, don't, because the walls will allow it, the sound, to go next door.
So this silent retreat really is a cooperative thing where everyone needs to be quiet for quiet to rule.
That's right, and it's that mutual support and something that's strange for the first-timers, but something to which the regular retreatants are very accustomed. The new ones are just sort of folded into that whole experience and feel very much a part of it.
For the newcomers, the first-timers, is there a moment when they're a little bit into that silent retreat when it ceases to be such a challenge to be quiet, but they start enjoying it, as it were?
Well, I'm guessing now, because I don't remember anybody actually identifying a moment. But we open with an orientation session on typically Friday nights, and then evening prayer led by Brother John. And after that evening prayer, they just sort of go their own way, not talking with one another. And that may feel a little strange at first, but the next morning they come down for morning prayer, and it's feels more natural, and after morning prayer they go down to the dining room for breakfast, and then when they come in there's music softly playing, and we say a prayer together and sit down, and I think it's probably at breakfast when they're maybe for the first time in their life sitting next to somebody at a dining room table and not talking with them. I think that that's probably what the event that provides the breakthrough that, well, maybe the silence is okay.
You know, and that's something, you know, as a radio person, it's ingrained into not have any dead air.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that carries over to personal life as well. So I imagine those in the radio industry might have a few challenges to overcome as well. Talking this half hour with Father Keith Clark. He's the director of the Capuchin Retreat Center, Mount Alverno Retreat and Spirituality Center in Appleton, Wisconsin, talking about the power of a retreat. Now, certainly, Father, those that come back time and time again have had good things to say. What are some of the most common positive comments you get about a retreat experience?
Well, overall, I guess I characterize the comments as it was so refreshing. So they keep coming back, and every year, of course, the talks that they hear are different, but they seem to sort of identify the experience not with the talks, but with just the experience of being here, being quiet, and they just talk about or write in their evaluations, they just write that I was found by God again, just because I took the opportunity to be alone and quiet for a while. And then, of course, they always call this a sacred place, and I always say, well, I've been here now for 7 years, and I know the stones aren't particularly sacred or holy, and I even know that the people who live here aren't really all that holy, but what makes this seem like a holy place to people is they come here and they make themselves available to God to be touched and moved, and God that touches them and moves them, and then they blame it on us. It's their own desire to be open, to be touched by God. That's what makes a retreat a success. Now, they tell us they like the talks and they like the prayer sessions, and they like the healing service, you know, and they like the benediction, and they like the rosary, but it's none of those things that give the overall sense of satisfaction. It's maybe all of those things, but it's all of those things in a setting where someone has set aside, you know, 2 days to just be with God.
What are some of the tips that can be taken away to help enjoy some of that silence during the year when we get back home and right in the midst of our busy lives? Is that possible to be able to, you know, just get moments on a daily or weekly basis at home?
Well, I think so. Well, I know so, but anytime that someone just in the midst of a hectic day turns his or her thoughts to God, God is there to listen. You know, you don't have to make a long distance phone call to reach God. You just, 'cause God is much more interested in reaching us than we are in reaching God. So all we have to do is give the opportunity. There's a passage from the book of Revelations that I like a lot. It says, "Look, I'm standing at the door knocking. If anyone hears me calling and opens the door, I will come in." And so I've thought about it. Well, it's only two things you got to do. Oh, and then he says, "And I will come in and share a meal side by side," which is a sign of great intimacy. So there's only two things you have to do. You have to hear him knocking, and you have to open a door. And if you make a little quiet in your life, or you even feel the slightest desire to be in contact with God, well, it means you heard him knocking. And then you open the door just by saying, "Well, here I am, just the way I am, and come on in."
You know, and that point that he's more interested in talking, being with us, being in our thoughts, than we are in hearing from him. I mean, that can give us some confidence and encouragement as we head into what may be a brand new experience with the silent retreat.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And as you suggested, the same is true when you're not on a retreat, when you're just doing whatever you do every day. Just anytime you hear him knocking, just say, "Oh, come on in. This is how I am today." I don't think God expects us to, you know, clean the house before we say, "Come on in."
Now, and that's a good thing. that can be a very good thing at times. Now, have you found in basically spending the time that you spent at the retreat center that your life has changed in terms of being maybe more contemplative?
Well, I don't know if my life has changed because I've been a Capuchin now for over 50 years, and that's contemplative side is this part of our life. What I have experienced over these years is the number of people that come for a spiritual direction. I've experienced sort of a connection with them, like they're also seeking to be found by God, and I find that encouraging to my own efforts to be found by God. And I'm so impressed, really, with what God is obviously doing in so many people, and they're not particularly aware of it until they sit down and talk with somebody about it, and then they sort of, you know, go, "Oh, yeah, never thought of that. Guess that was God."
Now, in addition to the silent retreats, there are the preached ones there too. What is kind of the attitude of preaching to people on retreat? I mean, we're getting them in a different setting than their weekly visit to Mass or during their regular life on a daily basis, something like that. They're in a different setting. They're expecting something different. How is that approached?
Well, every year we prepare the team. We have a team of five people that talk to our retreatants in the course of a weekend, and we sit down for several times for an hour at a time to hammer out, well, what theme are we going to preach on this year? And to come up with that, we pay attention to, well, what have people told us during the previous year? What have their concerns been? And how might we address those concerns? Now, because we are a Capuchin Franciscan retreat, we are very explicitly seeking to find what messages St. Francis and St. Clair might have to address people's concerns. So, for instance, this year, our theme is transforming the world through reverence. And it's sort of like people come here aware of the violence and the hatred and the spin that everybody puts on things. And, of course, in this election year, that's amplified. And, you know, with Francis and Claire, we sort of take a look at, well, the events of life. And France, for Francis, he didn't put a spin on it. He didn't interpret it. He looked at the events of his life and said, well, Lord, what would you have me do? And we look at the things in our life, again, through Franciscan eyes and say, well, yeah, the world is really full of wonderful things, and I didn't make any of them. And so they're a gift. And so I can learn to appreciate them by choosing things wisely and making use of them in a wise way. And there are people in our lives. And, you know, a Franciscan approach to people is obviously they're all brothers and sisters. You know, even the people that I can't get along with, they really are my brothers or sisters, because we have a common father. And for Francis and Claire, that was just as a constant awareness, so that no matter who they met, whether it was a cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church who was a friend of Francis and Claire, or the leper, it was with reverence that they approached absolutely everybody. And so our theme this year suggests that, you know, there are people who have tried to transform the world through conquest and war and manipulation and intimidation, but, you know, perhaps the world can be transformed more readily through reverence, at least your part of the world. And I told my kid brother what our theme was, and he said, well, I don't know if they'll transform the world, but gee, if they try that, they'll be transformed. I said, well, I guess that's good enough.
We've been talking with Father Keith Clark about the power of a retreat. And Father, you mentioned being a Capuchin for some 50 years now. Any particular thoughts you'd have to a young man just getting started?
Well, if you want to serve people, if you're pretty sure that you are a talented person and can do just about whatever you set your mind to, I would suggest you explore the possibility of putting all that talent at the service of people who can really use it. I think a sign of a religious vocation is concern for others. And if I find in myself a concern for others, you know, that could be an invitation from God to explore the possibility of a priest or religious life.
Boy, and to think what a standout trait that is, to have concern for others. And in this day and age, how much that does stand out.
Yeah. And, you know, I taught in a high school, or I worked in a high school for 20 years, and there really were some kids for whom it was obvious that they personally were not the center of their own world. And those were the kids I always invited to consider being a priest or a religious.
Well, what a great thought. We know you need to run. Father Keith Clark with the Capuchin Retreat Center, Mounty Alverno Retreat and Spirituality Center in Appleton. How can folks find out more about your center?
Well, probably the easiest way is a website, and just go to Mounty Alverno, all one word, MONTEALVERNO.org. That would probably be the source of most information.
All right, very good. Father Keith Clark, we thanks for your time for this morning. We thank you for that and for your continuing good work. And, you know, we'd give you a moment of silence here in honor of your work, but it's radio. We got to keep talking.
No dead air.
All right. Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
All right.